Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. Today we are celebrating Palm Sunday, the arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, as we get started here, let me show you what I've been working on all week. Those, my friends, are my notes for Palm Sunday. Yeah, a blank page, because it's been one of those weeks. This week, it's been like a gut punch, just one thing after the next. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, in my sermon from 2 weeks ago, we had had a flood in the basement and came to find out that the work that was completed wasn't sufficient. In fact, it wasn't done properly. There was way more ripping out that had to occur. So as I'm sitting here right now in my patio, I can hear clink, clink, clink. I can hear things being ripped out of the wall because our entire basement is basically being ripped out. Saturday, hired an environmental assessment inspector. He came, he looked at the basement and said, "This job isn't completed. There is water that's trapped underneath your tiles. Some of the wood still has water in it. You can't put your basement back together like this. It's going to lead to problems further down the road." This was Saturday. The inspector was at our house 4 hours Saturday afternoon, giving us all this news. And then he took a bunch of mold air samples as well. Saturday evening, by the time he left at 5:30, I was ready to crash. When you ever have something happen in life where it's totally unexpected, and then you get the news, and the emotional drain, it just feels like all the energy is being sucked out of your body. Those 4 hours, I could feel little by, like there was a vacuum that was just ever so slowly pulling all the energy out of my body, leaving me feeling completely depleted. That was Saturday. Gave us some test results, had to take more tests on Tuesday. He was here. Saw him again on Wednesday. So all that to say, this environmental inspector has become my new best friend. We've been spending a lot of time together. So this week has consisted of conversations with him, with the insurance, with the environmental hygienist, this company that's coming in order to take care of some of the mold that we have actually in our basement, and the rest of the deconstruction work. It's just felt like one nonstop decision after the next. We're trying to figure out, what do we do? What do we rip out? Is insurance going to cover this? And if you hear my phone ring at any moment, I am expecting a call from the insurance adjuster, so I have to take that and I will return to the sermon after that. But yeah, that's been what my week has looked like. This week has gone completely different than how I ever expected it to go. And it's funny because last week, Beth spoke about turning lemons into lemonade. When life gives you lemons, just make lemonade. That's what this week has been. And funny story, I'm talking to this environmental inspector and I'm floored. I can't believe how much work there is to do. We found something else going on in the attic as well. And here's what he says to me. He says, "Well, when life gives you lemons," and I just start laughing. I'm like, that was the title of last week's sermon. I mean, don't you hate that? When someone brings something up and then you have to live it and experience it yourself. So that's where I am. Been staring at a blank page, wondering how in the world do we talk about Palm Sunday, this triumphant moment. I mean, we are entering into Holy Week, this week where we talk about Jesus resurrecting, dying and resurrecting in order to save all of creation, to save us, to restore, to redeem all that is broken in the world. And here I come limping into Palm Sunday. I'm dragging behind me all this stuff as I enter into Holy Week. But I have a verse. I have a verse that, in my mind, I mean, I discovered this verse, or the power of this verse, 2 years ago. And to me, this summarizes what Palm Sunday is all about. Because the outset of Palm Sunday, and this is often how we talk about Palm Sunday at church, Palm Sunday is this joyous occasion, right? We wave palm branches. We teach our kids, if you go to a church where they have a children's program, oftentimes your kids will come out of their class having made palm branches. Because these palm branches, they are a sign of salvation. They're a sign that our Savior, our Messiah, Redeemer is coming. And so we are welcoming Him into our midst, into our space. This is what happened when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. All the people were super excited because here, finally, at last, was this Messiah, this Redeemer, who is going to rescue the Jewish people from Roman oppression, from all the people that had been holding them back from living into the best that God desired for them. So they're waving these palm branches, a very symbolic gesture, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, deliver us. Jesus enters Jerusalem during Passover, which was a time when the Israelites would have been celebrating a past moment of deliverance, when God had rescued them from the Egyptians. So Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He left from the Mount of Olives, which is where the Savior of the Israelites was to come from. He rode on a donkey, another highly symbolic act. It's like guerrilla theater 101. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing when he is enacting these steps, leaving the Mount of Olives, entering on a donkey into Jerusalem in the middle of Passover, when there would have been hundreds, thousands of people coming to the city to celebrate this joyous occasion. Everyone recognizes what's going on, waving their palm branches. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and here's what we're told. At the end, this is Mark chapter 11, verse 11. So even though I have a blank page, I still have a Bible verse, a verse that's been working on me all week long. It says, Jesus entered Jerusalem. And remember, everyone is fired up, right? I mean, there is so much adrenaline pumping through every single person present. Jesus enters Jerusalem. Everyone is witnessing this. This is the moment they've been waiting for. This is the moment that they have been expecting, that they were told about from when they were children. So their entire lives, they've been living with this story, with the expectation of, this might come to pass during my lifetime. If they're witnessing it right now, they are very excited about what's to happen. Jesus entered Jerusalem. He went into the temple courts. He went into the holiest place in Jerusalem. I mean, he went to the center of it all. I mean, there probably would have been a whisper, right? In the beginning, there's all this excitement. Then as Jesus enters into the temple, I mean, you could hear a pin drop maybe. Everyone is just waiting in anticipation for how this is going to happen. He looked around at everything. It was already late. He went out to Bethany. It was already late, so he left. How's that for smashed expectations? How's that for deflating all the air in the room? All the energy and excitement just totally removed from Jerusalem at this moment. Jesus walked in, he went to the center, and he left. Yeah, that's how life works sometimes, right? You have all these expectations, these plans for how it's gonna go, and we're really, really good at making plans, are we not? We have our 5-year plan, we have our 10-year plan, we have our retirement savings. We know the year, the month, maybe even the day that we're gonna retire. We know when we're gonna go here, do this. And then something happens. And all those plans, the dreams that we had been dreaming about for months, for years, maybe even decades, vanished, gone up in smoke right in front of us. Man, I know for me, that's sort of what this year has looked like. I entered into 2021. I had a bunch of expectations. All right, we're going to get our schedules down. I'm going to start getting back to the gym. And this year has just felt like one left hook after the next. And now here we are in the middle of a major basement renovation, possibly having to do some major work in our attic as well, and we're left feeling displaced, disjointed. You know, you go in, especially with this one, where you think, oh, it's going to be a simple reconstruction. And now you find out, as they start looking through some things, looking a little deeper, you come to discover this is a lot bigger than what we had once thought it was going to be. I mean, where's God in those moments? Where is God when everything goes upside down? You ever ask that question? You're sailing along, things are moving along, things are working out according to how you had planned, and all of a sudden, something happens, tips the scales. You're forced to walk down a different path. You hit a dead end. You thought the road was going to continue indefinitely, and now all of a sudden something is blocking your path. And you start asking God, where are you? Because here's the truth. We all hold expectations about God. We all have expectations about how God should act, about how God should be. This is what happened for the audience, those in Jerusalem, the moment in which Jesus entered into the city. There were all these expectations, I'm sure, about how God was going to act, what salvation was going to look like, and then Jesus comes in and completely flips everything upside down. I mean, if you're like me, you carry within you these expectations. God, this is how I expect you to answer this prayer. Anyone else, you're right there with me. You pray a prayer and there's openness, but you're not fully open because there's still sort of an agenda of how you're praying for God to answer a prayer. So there's an openness, but there's also this closeness as well, where you're expecting God to work in a particular way and you're placing your expectations on God. I mean, how often do we come to God with our own expectations? And when those aren't met, well, then we get angry at God. We get upset with God. God, it wasn't supposed to go this way. Oh, really? How is it supposed to go? I mean, the thing that I'm discovering about life right now is there is so much mystery and randomness and uncertainty baked into every moment. And as difficult as that is, it's also the beauty of life. Would we appreciate this life if we knew what every step was going to produce? Would we appreciate the beauty of every single moment if we knew exactly what was coming? Doesn't the uncertainty, doesn't our inevitable death place upon each of us this desire to live into every single moment and appreciate this moment for the beautiful gift that it is? Oftentimes, expectations can take us away from being present in the moment. Recently, I was reviewing some old emails that I had written years ago. And an email resurfaced from back in, I believe it was 2017. And it was about the church. In the beginning of this year, the church, myself, I was going through a really rough patch because there were some people who were leaving the church, some people who had become good friends, people that were a part of Awaken, and they were walking away from this church that I had started, from this community that I was a part of. And it was weighing on me. And I look back at this email and I see how burdened I was by all that was occurring, by all that was happening. And as I started sitting with the emotional weight, with everything that I was feeling, I realized I wasn't giving myself permission to feel my grief, to feel the loss. And I was so tired during this time. And I kept asking, why is this happening? Then asking, why am I so tired? that was an energy drain in itself. That why question, why is this happening? That will drain the life out of your soul. Because those why questions, oftentimes they go unanswered. Oftentimes we will never understand why. So how do we learn to trust in the moments when our expectations aren't met? See, for me, back in 2017, what I realized is that I had to allow myself to be present in the moment. I had to allow myself to be in the season of life that I was in. I had to be present to my grief, to the pain. I had to acknowledge it, admit, yeah, it's real, it hurt. It's there. The expectations I had about how the church was going to move forward, where it was going to go, even about some of the people that were apart, they weren't met. And so I had to be honest with myself, like, yeah, I had expected things to go differently. I had expected God to bless me, to bless the church in a different way than what I saw happening at the moment. So I had to acknowledge it. I had to grieve it. I think that's what we have to do with expectations. When they are not met, we need to grieve those unmet expectations. It's like a death. You need to give those unmet expectations a funeral. Otherwise, you carry them with you, and they weigh you down. They're like a slow energy drain, leaving you tired. They can steal joy. So for me, the way forward in that moment was just to be present with all of it. I think that's the invitation of Palm Sunday, is we enter into it with all these hopes, with all these expectations, right? I mean, that's the Easter story. That's the story of resurrection. And yes, it's there. But in order to get there, we have to walk through the disillusionment, the pain of all that hasn't gone the way in which we expected it to go. I mean, to me, that's the power of Palm Sunday, and then obviously the power of Good Friday, because that's where this leads to, right? I mean, everyone, the Israelites at the moment thought God was going to come in and just wipe all the enemies out. And yet the way in which this salvation was worked out was through death. And it had to be done in such an illustrative way, such a big way, because we all carry these expectations. And God was showing in this moment, back 2,000 years ago, and the way in which God still works today, is God doesn't work according to our expectations. God doesn't go according to our plans. And when that happens, we acknowledge it. And that's the one way, that's the only way that we can then be open to the new that God wants to do in us. I mean, I'm sure if you were to look back on your life, like I'm looking back on mine, there's some unmet expectations that, man, you're glad they went unmet, because they opened up a whole new world for you. Things were going in one direction, and then you hit a dead end. You hit a wall, and man, you are glad you hit that wall, because now life looks so much better than it did before. So it's being open to where the Spirit is taking us. It's being open to where our lives are leading us, the uncertainty of it, and being open to every single moment. That's how we prepare ourselves for resurrection. If everything was going the way in which it was supposed to go, there'd be no need for resurrection. If we could keep everything together ourselves, and we do, we try to keep it together. If we could do that, we would have no need for a Savior. So God comes in, blows all of our expectations out of the water, and says, I'm doing something better. I'm producing even more life, joy. My idea of salvation, it's bigger than anything you thought possible. Oftentimes our expectations are minuscule compared to what it is that God wants to do. So how do we trust? How do we keep putting one foot in front of the next? I mean, for me this week, as difficult as it's been, and it's difficult. It's all consuming right now. It's how do you smile in the midst of it? And then how do you trust that this is leading to someplace good? I mean, that's a question at the heart of life. We trusting that our lives are leading someplace good? Or are they just leading nowhere, to some nebulous future? That's what faith is, right? Trusting, believing that God is taking us somewhere good. That we are together, we're supported, we're not alone, we're not by ourselves. That whatever we happen to be going through, God is right there by our side. So that's a bit of what I'm learning right now, and I think it's so appropriate for Palm Sunday, where Jesus walked into Jerusalem, looked around, and left. Yeah. When life doesn't go the way in which you expect, when God doesn't act the way in which you expect, how do we remain open? I'm doing my best. We're doing our best here, trying to be open, hopeful, and smiling through it all. So my prayer for you, wherever you happen to be this week, whatever this week, this year has looked like for you, I pray that you would see the hand of God in everything you're experiencing. May you trust that God is with you. May you trust the presence of the Spirit that is leading you to someplace good, that God isn't abandoning you, but God is leading you into a future that is good. If you're hitting a wall right now, if your expectations are going unmet, may you have the power, may you be granted the power to remain open. May you embrace and acknowledge all that's happening, the pain, the weight of whatever you're experiencing. And through it all, may you remain open to what the next step in your life looks like. May it lead to resurrection, my friends, to a new and better life than you ever thought possible. So may the grace, the peace, the presence of Jesus be with you this week.